Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, I think you do great work, and I think that you also should never stop doing what you're doing and keep pushing forward and mentoring people.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today is the next part of our series, Life in Times of COVID-19. And we have a special guest here, Joel Solomon. And I will be introducing him in a moment. He's a prosperity coach. If you've tuned into our first conversation, which I encourage you to do, you heard about his infinite possibilities perspective. And he's written several books that I would recommend. I'm receiving mine soon, and based on our conversation already and getting to know Joel, I really am looking forward to endorse the concepts in his book. Sally Doyle is today's podcast sponsor. So schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $149 to take charge of your money life. Get a second opinion. Sally's the founder of Absolute Business Solutions. She has that infinite possibilities thinking, and she's known as a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep more soundly knowing that every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. So give Sally Doyle, profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Absolute Business Solutions, a call at 1-651-208-8151. That's 1-651-208-8151. All right. So it's always fun to have sponsors. Joel Solomon is a prosperity coach. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Nancy. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be here again.
Oh, good. Yeah, you help others overcome obstacles that are standing in the way of their financial freedom. In 2019, you published a new book. It's called The 9 Money Rules Millionaires Use, Only the Unconventional Ones, which was a bestseller in both self-help and personal finance, and is also the focus of our conversation today. I think it's a good time to evaluate what your money beliefs are and what your thinking is about the possibilities in your life during this COVID-19 crisis, and also during this transformative time in which we are taking a look at institutional racism and trying to find ways to rule out, snuff out institutional bias. There's so many things that are going on in every state that our legal system has been built on that need to be reconstructed and reevaluated. And until our legal systems really reflect that it truly is a place where you can hold people accountable and get justice, until that happens, people are not going to be able to develop the trust that they need in our institutional systems. You know, we're in a very tumultuous time because we're shifting our whole world into a higher level of functioning and treating each other, which is really enforcing and growing our humanity in phenomenal ways. And that's what we want to talk about today and encourage people through Joel's 9 money rules that can help us. And he also published a very phenomenal work in 2018 called Mindful Money Management. So Memoirs of a Hedge Fund Manager. Joel's an award-winning speaker and frequent podcast guest. He has led 11 workshops teaching the concepts of how to overcome limiting beliefs. He has spoken at numerous Rotary and Lions clubs in the New York metropolitan area and at Mercy College's MBA program, as well as Mike Dooley's Infinite Possibilities Training Conference in New Orleans in March 2018. Mike Dooley, if you think of Notes from the Universe, if you don't get those, he is the author of those, and he's written, what, over 17 books? Yeah, phenomenal human being who really is helping kind of our whole world evolve into different ways of looking at our lives. Joel has been an extremely influential student of his, and Mike really promotes you a lot. I noticed on your website you have a really wonderful interview with him. It's very charming.
Yeah, Mike is such a giving soul. As rule number 6 in the 9 money rules is giving, and he's such a giving soul. He actually wrote testimonials for both of my books, which are on the covers. So I'm so grateful, for Mike, and he has really helped me and guided me over the last 4 years.
Yeah, and you've also appeared on TV with CEO Money and Between the Covers. You've been a guest on over 30 podcasts, including Westchester Talk Radio, Redesigning Your Life with Sabrina Soto, Going Solo, Smashing the Plateau, The Matter of the Heart, Every Day is a New Day Show, Thrive Loud, the award-winning Nice Guys podcast, the Financial Survivor Network, and Think, Believe, Manifest. And you've been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, Newsday, U.S. News and World Report, and you've been interviewed in Forbes and on Bloomberg Radio. You've been making the circuit.
Thank you for that. It's been I've done a lot. I want to help as many people as I can, and I feel like if I can get out there and get the word out, that I can help more people.
Yeah. In 2012, you achieved a decades-long dream with the launch of your own hedge fund, Salomar Capital. You named them after your two daughters, Lauren and Morgan, which you revealed in our last conversation, that they have shown you unconditional love, and that's where you learned about unconditional love. It sounds like you also learned it from your parents.
Yes, but when you have a child, it's a little bit different. I don't think, I mean, maybe it's self-serving, but I feel like I really learned it when I had children. I definitely throw myself in front of a bus or truck for my kids. So it's
Different feeling. The depth of love for another human being.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I always say Joel, your financial experience included managing a $700 million long/short equity and credit portfolio for Citi, and you generated positive returns every year during your time there, including during 2008. That says a lot about your ability. I wonder if when you were an actuary, if that gave you such a critical perspective on how important history is.
Yes, it does. It definitely does. Being an actuary, you definitely look at the past. But I think to be a really good stock investor, you have to think about other scenarios. And, you know, not just assuming the past will continue and align to the future, but as we can see now, this, you know, in the last few months, you know, there are quote unquote black swan scenarios. There are other scenarios that can happen that come out of the blue, and you want to invest in great, at least good quality and hopefully great quality companies that can survive some unusual circumstances and maybe even thrive in these circumstances. So putting a different perspective, looking at other scenarios is important when you invest in stocks.
Yeah, like investing in paper products. I mean, who would have thunk that, you know, toilet right. paper would still be a hard commodity to get?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's get into, so you grew up in New York, Long Island, and it sounds like you've had some pivotal things like everybody has, but it's important to really identify them for each of our, understanding each of our own histories. And if you're going on the speaking circuit, which a lot of my listeners are preparing for and doing, that it's important to really understand those pivotal experiences in your life that help you shift into a new way of living and a new way of looking at your life. So you had 12 years ago a divorce that kind of put you on the trajectory toward your more spirituality, and which would leave a door open to explore the concept of infinite possibilities.
Absolutely. I said it in our last conversation, but I think it's really important to repeat that I truly believe from bad things come good things, and from really terrible, awful things come amazing, awesome things. And so having that perspective, and in my life, it's happened many times. And, you know, if I were to go back to talk to myself in 2007, when I was distraught, really unhappy, angry, probably some other pretty strong negative emotions back then. If I could go back and talk to that guy 13 years ago, you know, I would tell him to, you know, start tap dancing on the dining room table. Things are going to get awesome in the next few years, and you're going to have you're going to be amazed beyond amazed about the things you're going to accomplish. So just stay calm, you know, stay present, and things are going to get so much better.
Nice. Good. Well, let's talk about those 9 money rules that millionaires use, only the conventional ones. A little bit about the book. So if you're looking for a traditional book about money, move on, because Joel describes techniques and processes that millionaires use that most of them won't admit to using. Why do you think that is, Joel?
Because these are the unconventional ones, and they may not necessarily put that person in the best light from a conventional point of view, right? There's the conventional thoughts that you should give your money to somebody else to manage because that's what everyone else is doing, so that's what you should do. Or you should rely on your intuition because, you know, you have to do really detailed analysis to make money. But like I said the last time we talked, I found when I was managing $500-700 million that if I didn't trust my intuition, I either lost money or made less money. So there are rules in this book that I think a lot of millionaires and multimillionaires would not admit to in public because they're not conventional. And so they may be perceived as, you know, the person may not perceived as being, you know, good or yeah, it doesn't make sense, where this is actually what many of them are doing. Don't diversify is another big one that I think, you know, conventional wisdom says you got to put your money into hundreds of stocks. You got to have all these different asset classes, but, you know, you could look at some of the great titans of industry like Steve Jobs, you know, Bill Gates, you know, Steve Jobs, formerly CEO of Apple, Bill Gates, the former CEO of Microsoft, the current CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, they didn't diversify. They had all their net worth in their company.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's what most small business owners do. They keep investing in their company and they use it as a retirement fund.
Absolutely. And some people may know Warren Buffett. He is some considered the best investor of all time, but his right-hand man, Charlie Munger, said the whole secret of successful investing is non-diversification. If you know nothing, diversify. Now, Charlie's worth about a cool billion. You know, Warren's worth, you know, 100 times that, but, you know, Charlie's a pretty smart guy.
Right. And you have some questions for people to think about that, you know, that set up kind of your thinking, like, do you diversify your investments? And why do you do that? Do you blame others when you lose money? Do you pay yourself first? That's a concept that every business owner, it has now become, when you start your business, that's learning money management 101, pay yourself first. And what process do you have for investing in stocks or real estate? So the 9 money rules millionaires use will inspire you to take some action to act like those millionaires so that financial freedom can be yours. So it's not so far out of reach. So let's start with number 1.
The number one is when you believe. And it's the most critical of any rule, because you could be an amazing investor, but if you don't have belief, you're going to be buying when you should be selling and selling when you should be buying. So I tell my clients to write down their level of belief in each investment or prospective investment idea they have from 1 to 10, where 10 is absolute faith, a knowing that you got to make money, and a 1 is massive doubt. There's no way I'm ever going to make money in this investment. And if you're not a 7, 8, 9, or 10, don't go there. You got to get your level of faith or knowing or belief up to a level where the investment will work for you. And I recently had a potential client come to me, and she said to me, I asked my potential clients, where their passion is, where their interest is in investing. And her first response was, the stock market's risky. And I said, that is one belief, and we're not going to put your money into stocks unless we can shift that limiting belief to an empowering belief, because I know many people who have become financially free by investing in the stock market, but you won't unless we change this belief. And people are making money every single day in the stock market in different stocks. Today, Zoom, a company that a lot of people are using. I'm not recommending any particular stocks on this call, but I'm just recognizing that it's up over 10% today. So people can make money every day in different stocks by investing in stocks that they think are going to go up, or shorting stocks that they think are going to go down. But the first step is having the belief in that particular stock. You may get a tip from somebody, and that tip may be a great tip, and that person who gave you the tip has a 10 belief level, but your belief may be a 3. And they can make, and I give this example all the time, they can double their money. It's actually happened. And you invested the exact same day and you've lost money because you sold too early. And when the stock started going down, you just got out because you had no faith. And the other person said, this is the best buying opportunity out there, and bought more when the stock went down. And then a few weeks later, it's up, it's doubled, and then they sell. So belief is really critical.
Yeah, it's, that's a rule that had I set up just using that rule, the investment club, evaluating everybody's belief about it, I think that would have set us on a different trajectory. And like I said, it's not like we didn't make money. We didn't make as much as I thought we would make, because we, I realized during that if you have the right rules, you can take more charge of your money life. But if you don't know the rules, and it seems like everything we do in a life comes back to what is our belief about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can I make something out of this or not? Okay. So you have to understand your own personal history, what was taught in your life at an early age, like you were mentioning with your parents, in your family of origin, based on their upbringing, they came to the conclusion that money is scarce, that there's not an infinite amount of money, and there's a certain way in which you need to work in order to acquire wealth.
Absolutely. And so knowing yourself, I actually have on my website a free survey. On my website, it's Salamour, it's SALAURMOR.com. Free survey for anybody to fill out their financial freedom survey. And it goes through a number of different questions on beliefs, because you need to know, first of all, what you were taught, not only from just your parents, but friends, family, maybe some peers. What were you taught growing up around money that shapes your view today? Because unless you've had somebody like a prosperity coach go through this with you, people just internalize their beliefs around money from childhood and never think about them again, but it's impacting them on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and if we've all been shamed, and so shedding light on your past history will help fetter out and rule out or move out the shame that we experience. So if you've got an area in your life that you're not wanting to talk about, especially around money, that's the area you should shed light on and look at. Anything that you want to avoid about your money life and your training, that's where you should go to put that, you know, focus on. You've also got free downloads that are really, really incredible that I want to encourage people to go to. Like you have monthly commentaries, you have guides to stop losses, you have the investment process, you have understanding stock options, you've got the Bloomberg radio interview, and then on the other side of it, you've got self-talk audio files and the magic of thinking big. So those are resources that people can tap into, you know, right away as we're talking through these rules. So what you believe is really, really important for number one. What is number two?
Number two is, can my intuition make me money? And it's a bit of a rhetorical question because it's the truth. And it, for me, as I said earlier, if I don't trust my intuition as a hedge fund manager, I either lost money or I made less money. And so my clients come to me and say, Joel, so how do I develop my intuition? And I tell them, you can develop your intuition just like I did with my bicep when I went to the gym and I'm doing curls.
Right. It's
so
a muscle.
Exercise it every chance you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say you're in Manhattan and the subways are running again and you're on the subway platform and is a local train sitting there, but there's an express coming in a couple minutes. What do you do? Local, express, local, what do you do? Trust your intuition. And, you know, last time we talked, I told the story about my daughters and I choices every morning on which route to take. So think about all the decisions you can make, you do make every day. And start with some little ones, you know, walking one way or the other, driving one way or the other, simple decisions on what to have for a particular meal. Try to tap into your instinct, your intuition. I truly believe that everyone has really powerful intuition, but they don't trust it. But when you start trusting it, you will find that it's really, really powerful and you can use it to make money.
Absolutely. Number three.
Three is called Be Happy and Become Financially Free. And this was something that I learned when I was managing my own hedge fund. That was a dream of mine that I had for 15 years. I finally achieved it when I started working at Citigroup. And then the whole division was shut down, which actually gave me the kick in the butt to actually have my true dream achieved, which was to have my own hedge fund. And so I started that. I raised the money in 2013, and we started in 2013 in June. And
what does it take to start a hedge fund? How much money?
It depends. You know, it depends on the fees that you charge. So it can be as small as 25, 30 million. Sometimes it could be over 100 million. Depends on how many people you have working for you, what your expenses are. But I personally had raised $25 million for my fund to make it viable for a period of time. So this particular lesson, Be Happy and Become Financially Free, came to me when I was managing my fund. It was July 1st, 2015. I was on the Metro North train going into Manhattan when I got the news, and I was literally in tears when I saw the news that one of the stocks that I was betting was going to go down was getting acquired or announced that they were to be acquired that day, July 1st, 2015, for a 30% premium. And so I was going to lose my investors a lot of money that day. I was literally in pain because they had trusted me with their money and I felt like I was a failure.
Yeah.
And so I was literally in tears. And what did I do? I put on a song to make me feel better. It was called Ooh Child by the Five Stair Steps. Ooh Child, things are going to get easier. Ooh Child.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
Someday. Mm-hmm. And so we got into Grand Central Station and I started walking to my office at 54th and 6th. And when I got there, I took off my headphones and put it on speaker so my colleagues could hear, because they knew how bad that day was going to be. And I started thinking throughout that day that, you know, okay, yes, this was a really bad experience, but I can choose my emotions. And yes, because of this particular event, I was unhappy, but I get to choose. And so I started writing down things that made me happy besides uplifting songs, started writing down things like, you know, spending time with my daughters, being present with them, playing games with them, playing ping pong. What other things made me happy? Jogging, playing with animals. So I wrote down this whole long list and I realized that I could create unconditional happiness. So over the next few days and weeks, I would do one of these things every day. I find a great song and listen to it. I now listen to 5 songs every morning. I added meditation. I added visualizing, exercising, journaling, reading, and on and on, these things that what are some happy habits? So I recommend to listeners to write down some things that make you happy, not things that you need to spend money on. You know, they don't have to be big, you know, traveling to the Maldives, you know, and spending time on the beach for 2 weeks. It can be just small little things, which, you know, maybe it's just spending time with your kids. Yeah. So being present, doing some of those things. And a funny thing happened in August and September, just 2 months later, we outperformed the overall stock market by over 10% in those 2 months. And I truly believe to this day, by creating these happy habits and creating unconditional happiness, I actually became a much better investor, became a calmer, and recognized unconditional happiness, which helped me make money for my investors.
Did you move the money around also in order to change the outcome?
Yes. I mean, I used my intuition, I used my beliefs, and things changed.
Okay, so you got yourself in a happy mindset so that you could stay connected with your intuition so that you could make some solid decisions during that time without, they weren't based in fear.
Correct.
Okay, now I got it. Awesome example. How about number 4?
Number 4 is, what does visualizing have to do with money? And I teach visualization as a very specific technique to think. So I do it every morning, 5 minutes, write down your dreams and desires. And I give a 6-step process in my book specific as to how to visualize. But the most important part of visualization is from Wayne Dyer's book, Wishes Fulfilled, where he said, make your future dream a present reality by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. And so you have some dream or desire. If you could feel the feeling as if it's already achieved now, then it will come very quickly. So that's the key to visualization. And I had lots of visualizing that I did while I was managing money, lots of dreams, lots of desires that have come into my life since I became very regular in my visualization technique over the last 4 years. Travel places have manifested into my life, some special situations. And so that's why I teach visualizing as rule number 4.
What are you dreaming right now during this period of COVID-19? What are some things that you're wanting in your life or dreaming about?
So I recently, that's a great question, Nancy. So I recently wrote a white paper called 5 Megatrends Guaranteed to Shape Your Future. And it's all about what I believe are things that are coming out from this terrible virus that will change humanity for the better. One shape is actually an acronym, and The P, for example, is purpose. And I actually had a client come to me, subject line of the email, epiphany. And she said to me, I need your help. I just figured out my purpose in life.
Ooh.
I think a lot more people are going to have those kind of epiphanies because 90 plus, maybe some people have said 99%. I'll say 90 plus of the world were not doing their life's purpose. They weren't doing their why. They were working at a job to make some money, to put some food on the table, but they weren't doing their purpose. And I truly believe if you're happier, if you're doing your passion, you got to make a lot more money. And so I think that's really going to change over the coming months and years. People are going to figure out, I have a purpose in this lifetime and I should be doing that and not just working, you know, at a job. Because, you know, some may have said, oh, you know, I have a job, I'm secure. But they found out in the last few months that they're not. So why not? Some people say take a risk, but I won't say it's a risk. If you're doing what you love, you will create the life of your dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five, what are you thinking there?
What's one of the rules? What can you be grateful for?
What was that?
What can you be grateful for?
Mm.
And gratitude is such a powerful, powerful emotion and vibration. Some say it's the highest up there with, you know, joy and happiness and ecstasy. So I teach gratitude.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could appreciate and be grateful all day, every day, you'd be living the life of your dreams. So I actually teach a gratitude journal to write down five things you're grateful for every morning, five things you're grateful for every night. There was an actual study done. There was a study done by checking if gratitude actually impacts the happiness portion of the brain. And they connected some electrodes to specific parts of the brain and had people write down, while they wrote down three things they were grateful for at night and why. And they did this for 30 days while they were doing the gratitude. They had those electrodes on them, and then they checked them at the end of those 30 days, and the parts of the brain that triggered happiness were actually expanded in just 30 days. And so really, gratitude actually makes you happier, which then can help you become financially free. So I actually say, you know, some people can money buy you happiness. I say, can happiness buy you money? Because it really can.
And number six.
Number six is, if I give my money away, I'll have less money, not more. How does that work? Well, giving is, I will tell you, and I'm pretty sure no financial advisor or planner will tell you, but giving may be the most powerful way to financial freedom. Sir John Templeton, who some say is the best investor of all time, he started the Templeton Funds with just a few thousand dollars. He's to the Franklin Funds for almost $1 billion, 1990s. He said he hadn't met anybody who hadn't given at least 10% of his earnings each year over a 10-year period, who didn't have massively more wealth at the end of the 10 years than at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I know you're probably thinking the same thing that the title of that chapter is, Joel, if I give my money away, I have less money, not more. How does it work? And I will tell you that money is just energy. And by putting that money, that energy out into the world, it must come back to you.
Yeah.
And as little as 10% will create massive wealth for you. Now, I distinguish between doing it because you feel like you have to and doing because you want to. Doing from the heart, giving from the heart is so much more powerful.
Yeah, look right? at Oprah Winfrey. I think she's our best example as far as we've been able to watch her for 25 years on TV and her building the Angel Network and just all the prosperity that she, you know, I mean, that's part of the elements of the secret, right? The phenomena behind the spiritual lessons behind the secret is, you know, you attract more of what you're thinking about and doing, and giving is a huge proponent of that.
Absolutely. Okay. I just want to make one point about The Secret, because it gets disparaged, and I actually have it on my website. It's one of my recommended books, but I want to make a very important point about secret is most people say, oh, like I read The Secret, I'm just going to sit home all day and manifest my dreams and desires. You have to go out and take action. You can't just sit home all day, right? You can't just sit home all day and meditate and visualize. You want to take inspired action because you have these dreams and desires. And I didn't, like, when I, when I had my dream of achieving my hedge fund, or when I manifested many millions of dollars when I was managing my fund, I didn't just sit home and visualize and meditate. I actually took action. So you have to get out into the world as well.
Well, and it's using the tools that are available to help you do the work to create the wealth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfectly said.
Great. Okay. I'm getting it. Number seven. No, I already got it. But I mean, this is looking at it from a purely financial perspective, tying together, you know, how money shows up in your life. And what you're bringing, you're pulling together these nine areas that have been kind of on the fringes. People talk about different aspects of it, but you're pulling it together in a way that makes it easier to implement. I like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And rule number seven is, where's my cash going? And believe it or not, more than 80% of millionaires budget. I know budgeting gets a disparaged word all the time, but I actually have a really fun game in my book called The Budget Game, and we go through and shift the energy just by playing the game of budgeting, as opposed to, oh, I have to budget. And you can actually make it a game and make it fun and shift, again, those feelings of lack and scarcity to abundance and prosperity. It's really fun. Fun way to step.
Okay, I'll try the game with my husband, and we'll incorporate our daughter in it as she's going off to college in the fall.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think that will be, I'm excited about that. So, oh, great. Okay. And number eight, you talked about in the first one, can you really do it yourself? Is that number eight, or what is the?
Yeah, it is. So okay. DIY investing, again, I think it's one of the most unconventional rules of the nine rules, because you're taught from, you know, TV and radio and movies that you need a financial advisor, you need a financial planner, somebody else has to manage your money. You're not smart enough. You don't know the math. You are not an expert. And I go through and list all the reasons why, you know, you should be taking responsibility for your life, you know, all aspects of your life. And I truly believe that you don't need an MBA in finance. I don't have one. All you need, actually, Peter Lynch said this, all the math you need for investing you get in the fourth grade, right? So I've actually had my daughters who, you know, started investing a while ago. They're 14 and 16 now. And you know, I had them use their intuition. I had them just look at charts. And in 2009, they made more money than I did.
Wow.
They picked a couple of stocks. One went up 80%, one went up 100%. And so they have a knack for it right away. But it's, I truly believe, and doing it yourself, I go through in chapter four of part two, my proprietary stock screen, which we mentioned on the last show. It's a very simple five steps. And some people just use it as a screen. Okay, here's the 20 that passed. Now I'm going to do more research. And others just use it as their investment tool. And you could do either way. It's done very well over the years. But, you know, my recommendation would be as a first step. This is, okay, these passed. Now let's do more research. Let's look at the management team. Let's look at their background. Let's look at a lot more than just these five steps, but it's a good starting point.
Yeah, excellent. And the last one, I'm just kind of pleasantly surprised that we're able to move through all of them. I didn't know if we could cover them all in one conversation, but we certainly are.
Yeah, so I'll be short here again. Rule number nine is, again, another controversial one. It's don't diversify. And I think we talked a little bit about it last time again, but I actually quote from Harry Markowitz, who created portfolio theory. And he actually says in his theory that if you want to maximize your return, don't diversify. But there's this concept, and look, it's a little bit self-serving for the mutual funds, right? For them to say you need to diversify, because if you have to have 30, 50, 80, 100 stocks, then yes, it's going to be really hard for you to keep track of all those and to keep track of what the price target is and how they're doing every day. But you don't. And I found when I was managing my hedge fund, believe it or not, that my top five stocks returned 120% of what I made every year. That means that the other 60, 70, or 80, now I had to be diversified as well because of the SEC rules, but the other, all 60, 70, they made a negative return. So if I could have just kept my top five ideas, I would have made a lot more money every single year. And that's pretty much true for every portfolio manager that's managing money at any mutual fund or hedge fund. Their top ideas make the most money, but because they're required to diversify, they make less.
Oh, interesting. Wow. All right. Woo. So do you look at people's portfolios, then their financial portfolios, and help them to be less diversified? What's your approach to all that?
I do. I am not, again, licensed financial planner advisor. So they can either do it themselves or go to an advisor and get help. But I've had people come to me and say, here's my portfolio. Can you take a look at it? And so I take a look, and I've literally had people come to me with four pages of stocks. And I'm like, look, just read my book. You know, we have to limit this. There's no way you can keep track of that. I don't even know the best hedge fund managers, right? The best mutual fund managers, the best stockbrokers out there, having control over pages and pages of stocks. It's not possible. So you want to trim it down to your top ideas, the ones that you think have the best upside and the least downside, and don't diversify. You know, and I give examples in my book of specific stocks, but you know, again, it's back to beliefs, it's back to intuition, it's back to visualizing, and you know, doing the proprietary stock screen and having some specifics to back your idea, rather than just saying, okay, I got a tip from a buddy of mine.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. This is fantastic. So you've got some book offerings for our audience.
Yes. I'd like to give away five free books to the first five people who email me at Joel, J-O-E-L, at Solomor. That's SALAURMOR.com. I also, as you mentioned, I have a ton of free stuff on the website. You know, I have all my investor letters from all the years I was managing money. If anyone is interested in that, you know, I have affirmations. I have the self-talk audio files. I also have recommended books on my website as well. I also have all the videos, you know, the YouTube videos, all the interviews I've had on the other podcasts are on my website as well.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, thank you for being here. And let's take just a few minutes. Are you up for another meditation?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this time we're going to focus on your nine rules. And so if for some reason I misspeak the title of one of the rules, feel free to just gently kind of, you know, add it in.
Great.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's start with kind of making sure that you're sitting at the moment on a chair. And pull your left knee up toward, you know, the table or up in the air, and just hold it there for a count of three. One, two, three. And then gently place it down on the ground, and then lift your right leg up and push down with your left leg so that you can feel the balance between your thigh and your hip area. And then bring that down and then twist over to the right. So you're placing your right hand on your upper thigh and just look over your right shoulder. I won't do it, otherwise I'll go off the mic. So look behind you and just breathe, relax your shoulders, and just breathe gently in and out, and just notice how you're feeling right now. And if there's any tightness in your lower back, just gently send extra energy there to release that. And then inhale and exhale over to the other side. So your right arm, your right hand is on your left thigh. And then your left arm is behind you. And pull your shoulder down and then inhale and exhale and look behind you. So you're stretching your left neck out. Your back is forward and straight and off any support. So you're just, your vertebrae is straight. Okay, and then inhale and come back to the center. Release your hands on your lap and ground your feet and squeeze your toes. And then gently start breathing and closing your eyes and pulling your vertebrae up straight. So from the crown of your top of your head, you feel really connected to what's above you and all the way up through to the sky. And then you can feel from your tailbone, you can actually see like a bright light from the sky all the way down, and it shines through your vertebrae and all the way through the floor and through the grass and into the deeper edges of the ground. And so you're solidly anchored in the white energy that's flowing through you if you're more visual. And then seal your lips and gently breathe in from your nose and out. And just keep doing that. And I'm going to just mention each rule. And while I do that, if you've got a paper and pen, then just gently write down any thoughts that come to mind so you can release it and come back to breathing. Okay. So inhale and exhale, and just notice your chest expanding and you're releasing your breath as your chest and your belly come inward. And then as you exhale, and then inhale and everything is expanding. You can feel it throughout your whole body, and then exhale and you're releasing everything. And so the number one rule in money management, really, I mean, what the 9 money rules that millionaires use, only the conventional, unconventional ones is what we're talking about here. So the first one is kind of taking a look at what your beliefs are. So when we're finished here, if it feels right to write down your level of beliefs about money and where you're at, this would be a good time to do it after we're finished with our meditation. Inhale and keep exhaling slowly. Number 2 is, can my intuition make money? So start daily with little decisions. And this can be fun. Add a little positive energy to it and see how many decisions you can make today that where you're engaged with your intuition. Number 3, be happy and become financially free. So you can create unconditional happiness by developing happy habits. So being present. So maybe when we're finished, you might write down some happy habits. Number 4 is, what does visualizing have to do with money? Joel has a 6-step process, and you can look at his website when we're finished. And that might be something that is interesting to you. Or number 5, what can you be grateful for? So one of the things I'm really grateful for is that you're expanding my energy and our connection with each other and deepening it by joining me in this meditation. And thanks, Joel and Mike, too. And number 6 is, if you give your money away, what will happen? Well, why don't you start experimenting and make your life about giving from the heart and expanding and inspire action that comes from behind that? Number 7, where is my cash going? So Joel has a budget game, and you can try that out. And that by getting the book, his book. Number 8 is, do you really do it yourself? Yes, he's encouraging you to manage your own money, take responsibility. This is part of taking responsibility for everything about your life. It's asserting what I talk about is asserting self-leadership while you're breathing here. You might be thinking, oh, I've heard her talk about that so much. And now you can do this with your own financial portfolio, scrolling money away and investing in things that you believe in and people you believe in what they're doing. And number 9, don't diversify. Okay, focus in on five different portfolio or stock or companies that you really believe in and put your money there and see what happens. All right, so those are 9 of the money rules that are very unconventional and that will help you become a millionaire based on Joel's expertise, Joel Solomon's expertise and experience. All right, so now release any other thoughts going through your mind and come back in and really focus in on your breath. And then gently bring yourself back into the room. Notice your thighs on the chair and your booties there waking up. Squeeze your thighs so you've got the muscles there that are engaging your knees and pushing into your feet. And bring in your hands back in front of you and opening your eyes and saying, ah. So take an inhale and exhale and say, ah. I'm ready to work. My next actions that I take are inspired by doing this meditation. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks especially for Joel doing the work that it takes to come up with all the things that you have available and all your teachings. They're really, really well thought out and really can help people develop the right foundational ways in looking at money from an unconventional perspective. And thanks everyone for tuning in and taking a risk to do this meditation with me. Thanks Mike Abea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. Everybody stay tuned in, stay engaged in your life, and keep working your plan. All right, thanks. See you next Monday. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.